from the field to the film room to the war room. We've got you covered every step of the way as the road to the draft starts right now on BGN Radio. Hello and welcome to another episode of the BGN Draft Show. I am your host, Shane Half, and you can follow me on Twitter and YouTube at Shane Half NFL. I'm joined today by my co-host and fellow draft enthusiast, Dibes. Give him a follow on Twitter at Mr. Crockpot. Be sure to check out his podcast, Party on Broad. It's been a long free agency period. Been, you know, burning the midnight oil, drinking a lot of coffee to get through. We're mispronouncing words. It's okay. Dibes, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, man. It's going to be a fun show this evening, talking biggest winners and losers of the combine. I am focused on talking about my day two, day three winners. Not necessarily the top guys, but I think the meat and potatoes of this draft is day two when it comes to safeties and defensive backs and linebackers. We're going to get into it all.
All right. And we are also joined by special guest co-host. He's Dibes' co-host on Party on Broad. It is Ryan Reese, fellow linebacker aficionado. I'm sure you might hear him mention linebackers. If you ever listen to Ryan talk, you'll hear him talk about linebackers. Give him a follow on Twitter at Philly Sports PSA. Ryan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'll always take the chance to talk more draft. This is the best time of year, honestly. This is like a three-month Christmas, the NFL offseason, so I love it.
All right, well, what we are doing today, we're going to talk about the NFL Combine. Maybe you've heard a lot about the Combine already. We're probably like a week late doing this show, but the way the scheduling worked out, this is when we're recording. So we're going to each give you four winners from the Combine. We're going to give you a loser. We may talk about some random funny quotes and things that we heard along the way, so if you didn't watch all the Combine, we'll get you up to speed here. So, Dibes, I'll throw it to you first. Give me one of your winners from the Combine.
Well, we did our running back show a couple of weeks ago, and I think I was the only one with this guy on the top five. It is Jalen Wright. Jalen Wright was sensational. His broad jump was 11-2, the best mark of a running back since Justin Fargas, all the way back in 2003, 38-inch vert. He had a 9.7 raw athletic score out of possible 10. We know how he loves those raw athletic scores. And he finished all of that with a 4.4 40-yard dash on the first run and then a 4.38 on the second. And per next-gen stats, 15-plus miles an hour in the 40 was faster than Devin Achane. It was faster than Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs was a first-round pick. Correct me if I'm wrong. So Jalen Wright is a sensational prospect. He's incredibly efficient. He's well-balanced. He can, you know, hit you for over 1,000 yards. He's a great receiver. Lightning quick feet. He's only 21 years old. He's got a lot of tread on the tires. That with his receiving upside, and he's an underrated pass blocker, man. I think... there's not a lot of three down running backs in this draft, and I think Jalen Wright's one of them.
All right, Jalen Wright is Dibes' first winner. Ryan, who's your first winner?
Well, listen, I'll stick with the running back position, and I went with Louisville running back Isaac Guerrero. This guy, for me, came out of nowhere. He was the fastest 40 time posting at 4.33. He absolutely showcased the athleticism that this guy has throughout all of his drills. He posted a relative athletic score of a 9.99 out of 10, which was the second best mark ever by a running back. I mean, out of, I believe it was out of 1,700 roughly, that they've been doing this RAS since 1987. Number two. So this guy absolutely blew open the doors. And considering the race for that number one running back is so wide open, I don't think necessarily he got that far up. But, man, he absolutely got himself into a discussion of, you know, top 10, top five kind of guy. And he absolutely he recorded a top speed of about 24 miles per hour during his 40-yard dash. So this guy has speed. He had that athleticism for days. I think he kind of reminds me a little bit of from last year of A-Chain. He kind of just really kind of came out of nowhere, and he's going to be somebody that you're going to know probably on that day too.
All right. So you guys both went running backs. I'm going to go to a guy that has just grown on me so much throughout this process, and it's cornerback Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. Man, Mitchell's been so much fun to watch, and there were concerns about like the level of competition that he's faced, obviously playing at Toledo, but he dominated at the Senior Bowl. He dominated at the combine. He had the second fastest 40-yard dash time at the position at a 4.33, 38-inch vertical jump. He had a 9.75 relative athletic score, which if you don't know what that is, you can go check out relative athletic scores for anybody that's done enough drills to qualify at ras.football. But it's put out by at MathBomb on Twitter. Go check out his stuff. It basically takes your... It tries to adjust all of these athletic testings for your size and position, and it boils it down into a 10-point scale. And the overall, the individual scores don't work this way, but the overall score, basically like a 9.75 means he's 97.5 percentile athlete since 1987 for that position. So Quinyon Mitchell, elite athlete, has really good tape, albeit against lesser competition. He dominated the Senior Bowl. I think he's working his way into CB1 for a lot of teams. Now, he's going to have to compete with Terrion Arnold there, but I think they're 1A, 1B. I would say Mitchell is 1A right now, and I know you guys would say Arnold is, but either way, Mitchell is a huge winner of this process so far. So, okay, Dives, who's your second winner out of the combine?
Let's go Braden Fisk, defensive tackle out of Florida State. He had an unbelievable 40-yard dash time of 4.78. This guy coming in, you know, negatives aside, he's got short arms, first percentile when it comes to length. But after that, when it comes to testing, he was off the charts. He had the top broad jump and the top vertical jump among interior defensive linemen at the combine, both 96th and 91st percentile all time for an interior defensive lineman. That's some crazy numbers. 97th percentile in the 40, 84th percentile in the 10-yard split of 1.68 seconds. This guy's a pass rusher. He's got really good quickness, as the numbers indicate, a relentlessly high motor. I thought he was like a back end of day two, early day three guy heading into the combine. He looks like a round two guy now, and one of the top defensive tackles. In fact, when you look at Byron Murphy and Johnny Newton and Braden Fisk, it was an overall very good day for the top prospects at the position. So Braden Fisk made a lot of money at the combine this year.
All right. Ryan, give me another winner here.
All right. So you hyped me up quite a bit for the linebackers. So I might as well talk about one of my favorite linebackers. And this guy has been rising up my list for quite a while now. And that's Peyton Wilson, linebacker out of North Carolina State. I'm going to once again go with a prospect that was the top 40 time. And that's exactly what Peyton Wilson did with a 4.43. He absolutely looked so fluid and athletic with his positional drills. The Benaric Award winner, again, I think the biggest knock on this guy is he's had a bit of an injury history. And I think the medical outlook on him is going to be something that needs to get, reviewed. But we've certainly seen players have a rich history in that injury capacity that come in and, are able to, maintain their health. So I think that is really the biggest knock on this guy. Outside of that, man, he is athletic. He is quick. He is a fantastic tackler when you look at his film. And honestly, I think he, really kind of got himself into the forefront of these linebackers. Because again, you have Edgerrin Cooper, you have Trott, and you have Peyton Wilson, who now is certainly going to be in consideration for that first linebacker off the board. And honestly, I think if there's a team that is okay with his medical history, I could easily see him being the number one linebacker taken. And who knows, he may slip into the first round if even crazier things happen. So I really do like him. And honestly, if you look at him, he's also a Dallas Goedert clone. So I wouldn't mind, getting him with one of our 2 seconds. So
amazing tape. Peyton Wilson has incredible tape, man. Yeah. Go watch that, man. It's a blast. Right there with Edgerrin Cooper, man. Right there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to stick on the offensive side of the ball. I'm going to go with wide receiver Xavier Worthy out of Texas. And this is just speed, 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 speed. He ran a combine record 4.21 40-yard dash, broke John Ross's record of 4.22. Don't ask me how John Ross turned out. You break a combine record, you're a winner, right? It doesn't matter, right? Is a 4.21 any different than a 4.29 or a 4.31 when it comes to what it actually brings on the field? Probably not. Actually, I would say definitely not. But it's still fun. It's a great storyline out of the combine. He had a 41-inch vertical jump. He had a 10-11 broad jump. Overall, his relative athletic score was a 9.37, which, again, basically means he's almost 94th percentile in terms of athlete for his height. Now, obviously, he's first percentile weight. Maybe the Eagles are scared off there. You've already got one really light receiver. Maybe you don't want to build your room entirely out of really light receivers that can't run block. But Xavier Worthy definitely lit up the combine. There's going to be some owner out here that is going to fall in love with his speed, and he's going to go before some guys he probably shouldn't go before, purely because of that 4.21 speed. So Xavier Worthy also probably made a lot of money during the combine. Now, we're halfway through our winners. Do we save our losers for the end, or should we make a little negativity or a positivity sandwich here and put these losers in the middle? What do you guys think?
Let's do losers. Let's do it.
All right. Dives, who's your combine loser?
My combine loser is no surprise, Kalen King. And Kalen King has dropped like a rock over these last 6 months, man. And it's sad. I mean, you could make an argument that even Daquan Hardy, another defensive back for Penn State, could be drafted above him, which is nuts, considering Kalen King was arguably CB1 in this draft before this season started. He was a well-regarded first-round caliber prospect, kind of like Eli Ricks was 2 years ago at this time. He ran the second slowest 40-yard dash of any quarter at 4.61, the fourth shortest broad jump at 10.2, and then a middle-of-the-pack vert at 37 inches and 20-yard shuttle at 4.16. And you combine that with a Senior Bowl where wide receivers on the other end were literally choosing to go up against Kalen King. It's not good, man. It's not good. This guy went from round one to day two to day three, and now there's probably a discussion about whether or not he gets drafted. So it's not good for Kalen King. He's definitely, in my opinion, the biggest loser.
All right, Kalen King is Dives' loser. Ryan, I think you're staying on the same side of the ball here. Tell us who your loser was.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm going with somebody that honestly I had such high hopes for. And this was my number one safety heading into, this offseason. And that's Cameron Kitchens out of Miami. And honestly, I thought he had a real chance to solidify himself, not only as the number one safety, but a first round safety, which again, isn't the easiest thing. And honestly, I think it's one of those situations where, he's going to have to do something in his pro day and honestly tell them to, hey, look at my tapes rather than, my lackluster performance in Indianapolis. And, You know, he ran a 4.65 40, which tied for the worst among the safeties. He seemed to struggle when asked to backpedal during some of the drills. And honestly, he just looked clunky. He didn't look fluid. He didn't look athletic. In fact, his RAS score was one of the worst. And in fact, it was so bad that it was like a 2-point something. It was so bad that honestly, I questioned whether that was accurate. It seemed like a mistake, because you look at his film and you look at some of the athletic plays that he has made at University of Miami, and it doesn't compute to this score. So, Cameron Kitchens really has quite a bit of working to do when it comes to his pro day. Because that's his last chance to really show teams that, you know what, whatever happened at Indianapolis isn't the player that I am, because you look at his tape and it doesn't compute. So, Cameron Kitchens went from being pretty much the number one safety now to, you know, he might have fallen to the third round. I mean, honestly, he really may have. I don't see it, but again, you never know. This might scare some teams, and you would think that he'd be kind of a mid to late second, but he might be that third round at this point.
Biggest surprise of the draft, combine for sure.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate, because he's a guy that I liked, and a guy that I liked potentially to the Eagles. And that, you know, that testing is really concerning. And, you know, maybe you have a bad day, and, you know, we've certainly seen guys sort of plummet in their stock from the combine and turn out to be good players. I always think back to, what was the running back from Notre Dame, Dibes, that plays for the Rams now, that's doing really well.
Kyren?
Yes. Yeah. Kyren Williams. I was really big on Kyren Williams, and he bombed out, you know, his athletic testing at the combine, and it made me waver on him and drop him down my board. And obviously he's proven me wrong and all that athletic testing. So certainly not doom for these guys that didn't perform well at the combine, but it certainly is going to hurt their draft stock.
Yeah.
So my loser for the NFL combine, is the NFL combine. You know, the NFL combine is this big spectacle, right? The NFL advertised 50 hours of live coverage this year, and they're trying to squeeze every possible dollar out of the combine, and star players simply aren't participating anymore. And it's not just players. You had three coaches skip out on the combine. Robert Saleh, Mike McCarthy, Sean McVay all skipped the combine. But you have Caleb Williams, who's the generational quarterback guy. And he didn't just opt out of throwing. He opted out of medical testing too, which is it's the entire point of the combine. And he said that his quote was that not all 32 teams can draft me, so why should I give all 32 teams my personal medical things? Which there's some validity to. You got Marvin Harrison Jr. He didn't work out in Indy. And it's not because he gained weight for a weigh-in like you saw Bryce Young last year, right? This is what you do. You gain weight for the combine to weigh in, and then you lose it, and then you go do athletic testing at your combine or at your pro day. He's just not going to do it. He just said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to focus on football things. So kind of spits in the face of the combine. He also no-showed his media session after he got weighed in. So interesting things there. That's two guys at highly visible positions who will be top five picks not working out. And they were joined by Drake May, who's probably QB2, Jaden Daniels, who's maybe sliding into QB4 now, but QB3 at the time, you think Malik Nabers, Brock Bowers, that's the top five guys on the consensus big board, and QB3, who's number 11 overall, not participating in the combine. You have on top of all of that, the agency Athletes First told its prospects not to participate in any of the cognition tests after the CJ Stroud debacle last year. And so what you see, like, people want to show, right? And the NFL has tried to hype this thing up, and they're trying to squeeze every possible dollar out of it. And I think the combine's struggling to stay afloat. Like, it's never going to go away, but in terms of being like a televised thing that they're going to try to pull off, I just don't know that that's going to continue to work for them. So we'll see. We don't have to spell total doom for the combine yet. but it's certainly something worth monitoring. My second place, so I'll actually give a person, though, is running back Bucky Irving out of Oregon. He was my number two running back when we did our running back ranking show, and he pretty well bombed out the combine. He basically ended up with a 2.2 relative athletic score. He was 6th percentile weight at 192 pounds, 4th percentile vertical jump. Not a good combine. He ran a 4.56 40-yard dash. So Bucky Irving is also big stock down out of the combine.
Shocker, too.
Yeah. I was really surprised by that one.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that gets the negativity out of the way. Let's get back to positivity here. Let's talk about a couple more winners and then maybe some funny moments that happened at the combine. Dives, give me your third winner out of the combine.
Yeah. And if you have been following along, and I'm sure you have, with Eagles free agency, they just brought on CJ Gardner Johnson. They brought on an edge rusher. But what about the linebacker position? That's one of my favorite scenarios for the Eagles, is the trade back scenario where they target Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M. And he had a great day. He had the second fastest 40-yard time among linebackers at 4.52. His 1.54 10-yard split time was tied for first among his group. 9'10" broad, 34-inch vert. He had a 9.34 raw athletic score out of a possible 10. Dude's just a beast. As a second round talent, I love his fit alongside N'Kobe Dean in Midnight Green. This is a guy that compared himself to Fred freaking Warner. I mean, what else is there not to love? I mean, if you could pick one player in the NFL to play for the Eagles, it's got to be Fred Warner. So for me, Edgerrin Cooper was a big time winner. He had 17 tackles for loss last year, 6'3", 230 pounds, straight up dog. He had 8 sacks. He's physical. He's got elite speed. He's got great length. I just think this is the premier target for the Eagles at the top of round two at number 50. By far my favorite player, my favorite fit, just a perfect dream fit for the Eagles if they get him to Philadelphia.
All right, Ryan, I don't need to hear you gush about linebackers for 20 minutes here, but I'll give you 30 seconds to fawn over Edgerrin Cooper before you move on to your next winner.
Listen, Shane, I truly do appreciate that. And this is exactly why I tell everybody how much I love linebackers. So I get these rare moments. Coop is absolutely the number one linebacker. And he is a guy that I think would absolutely come in here and be a name that Philly would love. I could literally picture it now, being in Lincoln Financial Field and just Coop. Like, this dude is it. He is the solution to our problems at linebacker. And he absolutely balled out at the combine. I cannot tell you how ecstatic I will be if the Eagles actually draft this guy. We joked about, doing what you need to do to get this guy, trade up, do whatever, secure it. Don't take any chances. Bring Coop to Philly.
And if Howie Roseman is willing to give over $10 million to a running back in free agency, why not draft an elite, top-notch linebacker in this year's draft? Come on, Howie.
Let's go.
All right. So that ends Linebacker Fest here on the BGN Draft Show. So, Ryan, tell me, who's your third winner from the combine?
My third winner is local Penn Stater Chop Robinson. I think the top end of the edge class was very busy. There was a lot of first round talent. There's a lot of early day two, round two talent. And then there's a severe drop off. And, again, it was hard to kind of see where the rankings were. And Chop basically came in and said, you know what? You got to notice me. He came in, and you'll notice, obviously, I have a theme because I want the Eagles to get faster. This man ran the second fastest 40 time among edge rushers at 4.48. He absolutely looked super athletic and smooth during some of those drills. And honestly, he showed the ability to bend, to maneuver, to backpedal, to do change of direction and get by offensive tackles. He showed that, you know, he needs to be considered among some of these top names, that are out here at the combine in the draft. That 40 time was the fifth best 40 time since 2003 by any pass rusher weighing over 250 pounds. So the fact of the matter is he's big, he's quick, he's strong, he's got that burst, he's got that bend. He absolutely came to play. And honestly, I think he secured himself as a first-round talent. And honestly, I would be more than fine if he was the selection at 22 for the Philadelphia Eagles. I honestly think he really did come to the combine and made himself a lot of money being a first-round talent.
All right. That brings us to my third winner. It is interior offensive lineman Cooper Beebe out of Kansas State. Now, he's far too lowly rated. PFF has him at 122 on their big board still. But he's been one of the best guards in the country over the last couple of years. He's gotten far too little credit. Even if you go look at like PFF's grading, they have him graded really well. He's got the highest offensive guard pass block grade since 2022 and the seventh highest run blocking grade. And yet, you know, I'm routinely picking him up in the fourth round of mock drafts. He's, like I said, 122 on their big board. I think he's going to be a second round pick. And he showed some athleticism. He has a 9.71 relative athletic score, which again is 97th percentile. He ran a 5.0340, which is 92nd percentile, a 4.81 shuttle. He had a 7.443 cone, and he had an 87th percentile broad jump. Now, obviously, you can see from his spider chart, his length is the issue. His arm length is second percentile. His hands are small. He's not very tall. That's why he's an interior offensive lineman. But he's going to be a really good guard for whoever snags him in the second round. And I think he pretty well solidified that second round status at the combine with his athletic testing. So he's my third winner from the combine. So let's throw it around here one more time, and we'll go for our fourth one. Dives, you can say something if you wanted to about BB, and then give us your fourth winner.
No, I think BB is right at that back end of round one, top of day two area. I think he's like that tier right below Graham Barton, right below Jackson Powers Johnson. There's a lot of, again, the O-line, we're going to do O-line next week. And there's a lot of guys to talk about. It's a very deep class. Guys like Zach Frazier, Zach Zinter, it's very deep. The guy I want to talk about is Kamari Lassiter. I mean, there was a lot of headlines in this combine. We talked about some already. But a guy that nobody talks about is Kamari Lassiter. And I think he is a lock for the top of round two. He didn't run the 40-yard dash, but he did take part in on-field drills and just blew away the competition, quite literally. He had a 6.62 three-cone time, not only the tops among all cornerbacks in this draft, but it was the 15th fastest time in combine history, and nobody's freaking talking about it. He had a short shuttle of 4.12. That was third best among corners. So in a cornerback group that's really solid this year, I feel like people still don't talk about this guy enough. In three seasons at Georgia, he started 29 games. He started every game the last 2 years, kind of stepped into that starter role in 2022. He was a huge piece of why Georgia had the best pass defense in 2023. He didn't get as many targets this year as he did the year before, but, and he didn't really have that much like turnovers and production that you would expect, but that's a big piece. And there's a lot of chatter about him moving to more of a nickel defender role at the next level, kind of in that slot area. But if you're concerned about that, do not be concerned. This is a guy who Georgia put in the slot against Luther Burden of Missouri, who is widely considered the number one wide receiver in next year, the 2025 NFL draft, held him to one reception. Georgia said, shut him down. Kamari Lassiter took him out. So Kamari Lassiter doesn't get enough love in this draft, dominated at the combine, give some respect to Kamari Lassiter.
All right, Kamari Lassiter for Dibes. Ryan, who's your last winner from the combine?
Mine's actually going to be a Joe Alt. I know we talked a lot about not wanting necessarily tackles for the Eagles in the first round, but I did want to mention Joe Alt's performance because there was certainly rankings where Joe Alt wasn't the number one, and there was maybe some confusion in the rankings, and I think he ended all of that with his super impressive combine. Now, while he wasn't necessarily the fastest 40 time, I know, with a 5.05, but he did reach the highest miles per hour his peers in the trenches. He ended up at a 14.14 miles per hour, which is the fastest time over the last two combines. So he is absolutely, he has some explosiveness, some quickness to his game. And he really did solidify that number one offensive tackle in this NFL draft. I mean, he is an absolute dream, for somebody that needs a bookend. Honestly, he couldn't, at this point, his ceiling can't get any higher. He is absolutely just so technically sound. Throughout the drills, he just looked like such an already polished vet offensive lineman. Somebody's going to go ahead and get themselves an all-pro right out the gate. Honestly, I mean, this guy is so special. And Notre Dame, he absolutely dominated. And I don't see why that doesn't continue, especially after the impressive combine he had. He, by far, is the number one, without a doubt, offensive tackle in this NFL draft. And there's something to be said about solidifying that position with his performance in Indianapolis.
All right. And then that brings us to my final winner of the draft. It is offensive tackle Amarius Mims. Amarius Mims is like, when you go into Madden and you do like the create a player, if nobody creates an offensive lineman, right? Because that's not a fun player you can get stats with. But let's just pretend, you were going to create an offensive lineman in Madden. You would create Amarius Mims. He's 6'8", which is 91st percentile, 340 pounds, 94th percentile. He's got 95th percentile arm length, 97th percentile hand size. He ran a 5.07 40, which is 85th percentile. So he is huge. He is a fluid mover. That he did tweak his hamstring on the second 40 attempt. He didn't get a chance to improve that time. And that is kind of the issue with Mims. He's got a lack of experience because of injuries. He's only played 638 snaps across 3 years at Georgia. He's only started 8 games this year. He suffered an ankle injury that required surgery and kept him out from week 3 to week 11. But the potential is so sky high for Amarius Mims, and everything we thought we saw in his movement skills and just his athletic profile, his body type on tape, it showed up at the combine. And so, we'll see where he goes. Like I said, sky high ceiling, but it could take him a while to get there. Mm. Maybe he never gets there, but it's hard to argue that he wasn't a huge winner coming out of the combine. So, all right, go ahead, Dibes.
No, he's a top 20 talent. There's no question. But, like, are you willing to wait a year or two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that does it for our winners and losers. Anybody have any just random tidbits, snippets from press conferences, anything like that that caught your attention that you want to mention? Nope. Here, I've got one. I'll go. And then if you guys think of anything. So Tavondre Sweat, who defensive tackle out of Texas, he weighed in at 366 pounds, which is 99th percentile for defensive tackles. And so he was at the podium talking to reporters and he said, but I'm going to do all those drills. Because a lot of times, you know, those guys, they won't, because they know they won't go well for them. And he said, when I run the 40, I'm going to shock a lot of y'all. And they asked him, well, what are you going to run the 40 in? And he goes, 4.5 or 4.4, maybe 4.5. And everybody kind of laughed. And then he ran a 5.27. And I thought that was hilarious. The reporters did too. You can go find the clip of it. They all laughed when he said that. So I thought that was funny to see a guy just up there joking at the podium. And then the other one is, did you guys hear the whole conspiracy about birds at the combine?
No.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. So apparently there was some reporter asking prospects if birds are real. I don't know why, but there was a tight end out of Illinois named Tip Raymond who he said birds aren't real. And he said, I mean, have you ever seen a baby pigeon? Which, like, yes, I have. But then he said, how do we know that power lines aren't pigeon recharging stations? And he went on to say that pigeons are government spy drones. So there you go. No idea if he's serious or just answering a ridiculous question with a ridiculous answer. But I thought that one was really funny. And those are the two main ones I caught. But any other random little snippets or anything you guys want to point out?
I did like when Braden Fisk ran his 40 at the end. He shouted, "Oh yeah!" Like he knew he was flying, and just absolutely was high praise for himself. But I always love those little things, like when Worthy ran his and he saw it. I think it originally only said 4.22, but still, he just completely just ran, continued to run throughout the building. As obviously he knew he just made himself quite a bit of money too. So yeah, I love those little things like that. Those are the fun things. And I also did enjoy the, you know, when they do the, when they kind of show multiple people doing the, you know, the 40 and
showing, when they like time or impose it on top of each other.
Well, they start doing that now with some of the drills. So I really like that when they did that with Fisk and with Byron Murphy, showing just the difference in just those two. Because Murphy, again, by all accounts, might be the best, you know, D tackle, especially considering he was the one who ran some drills. But it was him versus Fisk, and you just saw the difference in the bend and the violence in the hands and stuff like that, like the new stuff they come up with every year. I really do enjoy kind of to compare and contrast different players.
I liked when they put Xavier Worthy's 40 up against Patrick Mahomes.
That was good. Yeah, and Mahomes is begging them to just stop using it. And they keep doing it. And they did it versus, you know, much slower people too. Because what, he ran like a 4.82, I think Mahomes did, so.
Yeah, something like that. I think it's the Kelce brothers on their podcast. They always joke that Patrick Mahomes, when he scrambles, he looks like he's holding a beer in his hand, and said that his scramble speed is exactly 0.1 seconds faster than whoever's chasing him.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the frustrating part about him. Just somehow.
Yeah. So, well, I don't know how we turn this into a Patrick Mahomes podcast, but
I've got to. My one was at the end of each position drill, the last player would like sprint to the other end of the field and do some sort of celebration where everybody else was like chasing them from behind and they would do like a celebration. And sometimes that prospect that was first to hit the end zone would do like a flip or some kind of like celebration that I can imagine, like, every agent in the NFL, like, shitting their pants, like, watching them do a backflip or a somersault, like, don't get hurt type of thing. But as someone who watched every single 40-yard dash throughout the combine and doesn't have a lot of hair on top, I got to say there was a lot of loving for the hair, for the do. And it was like Sam Hartman. It was guys like Frank Crum, like a lot of slow-mo with the hair flowing. I'm just saying, I'm going to throw it out there. Bald is beautiful. And it was a little hurtful.
All right. Well, on that note, we are going to get out of here. Thank you guys for joining us for this episode of the BGN Draft Show, breaking down our combine winners and losers. If you enjoyed the show, be sure you hit that subscribe button so you get all the shows on the BGN radio feed. I'll have a show out with Johnny in the next day or two, breaking down the Eagles free agency signings. A lot of other stuff coming out on the feed as well. You can check us all out on Twitter. I'm at Shane Half NFL. Dibes is at Mr. Crockpot, and Ryan is at Philly Sports PSA. We will catch you guys next week for another episode of the BGN Draft Show, where we're breaking down our top 10 offensive line prospects. We'll see you guys then. Go Birds.